Tony Allen joins us now, though, for a look at the week in rural news. And Tony, no surprise, I suppose, that those dry conditions we've seen in the north of the country are very firmly spreading south.
Yes, the latest weather stats from the Bureau are a bit scary. They do confirm that areas of Queensland and northern New South Wales have now had some of the driest two-year periods on records, so it's getting into a pretty lengthy drought. But it also says long-term rainfall deficiencies, that is, drought, are developing in western Victoria, southeastern South Australia, and also parts of Tasmania and Western Australia. So it is spreading, and the Bureau's Dr. Andrew Watkins says the figures for September, when it comes to rainfall, were well below average in quite a few parts of southern Australia.
Places further south, particularly over the past several months, have seen a lot of large high-pressure systems basically keeping the rain away and keeping the fronts away. So that's led to deficiencies in rainfall, particularly over the grain-growing areas of Victoria and into parts of Western Australia as well.
Now, we often talk about expansion and growth plans of Coles and Woolworths, but some details from Aldi this week.
Yes, there's a lot of concern about the so-called duopoly of Coles and Woolworths, but there's a bit of concern about Aldi too. I don't know whether you'd call them the triumvirate, but Aldi is going to spend $700 million opening 120 stores, expanding into Western and South Australia. Now, independents like Foodland and IGA have a third of South Australia's supermarket business, and the Independent Retailers Guild in South Australia says these big retailers like Aldi reduce local employment and take away profits from the local food suppliers. The Guild's Colin Shearing says Foodland and IGA all buy local.
We promote local products. We're about South Australia. Our owners are South Australians. We invest back into South Australia. Now, all of a sudden, you've got, if you look at one single owner, particularly in a country town, they're up against the might of an international retailer like Aldi and or the national retailers like Woolworths and Coles. They're not going to be able to compete.
But that view is not universally shared across regional Victoria. Like in places where Aldi has been for a while, for example, Bendigo in Victoria, there are two Aldi stores. They see the big supermarkets as not destroying local retailing but reviving it. Mike Lowther of the Bendigo Northern District Community Enterprise says that's the case with a new supermarket that's been built recently in the suburb of Epsom.
People out our way are able to shop locally, and plus there's a new train station just about to be opened this coming Saturday, actually not far from the supermarket. So, you know, the development's been a real positive for our area.
And from Aldi's point of view, Aldi is notorious for not commenting to the media. They've had a policy for years of not saying much about anything publicly, but they have issued a statement saying they will support local farmer suppliers.
Now, on my recent holidays, I was amazed to find not far from the centre of town that there was a complete mobile phone dead spot, and I am most definitely not alone.
Yes, the federal government this week released the list for the next stage of its $100 million program to build new phone towers in rural, remote and some outer suburban areas. This was an election promise, which they are carrying out in stages. So 6,000 locations have been nominated as possibilities to get some of these towers, and the Parliamentary Communications Secretary Paul Fletcher says the money will fund between 250 to 300 new towers, and he says it's up to the phone companies to nominate where those towers should be built.
$100 million will go a significant way, but we also expect to leverage about another $100 million from the carriers and from potentially other sources, including state governments and local councils. And so, therefore, it is important that the carriers have some involvement in the choice of location.
Well, I guess that's all good news, but there are still problems. For example, west of Condobolin in central New South Wales, they have a big phone tower, but no mobile service. And farmer Jack Copeland is one of a group who wants this black spot program to acknowledge the problem and deal with it, particularly, he says, when there are medical emergencies.
I mean, I've had one where I fell off my spray rig and badly damaged my ankle, and I had to climb back up on the spray rig and to make a phone call. It wasn't life-threatening or anything, but, I mean, it's only a matter of time. You know, 3G service for helping out in an accident is paramount.
Some big penalties handed down over illegal timber exports.
This is an interesting case that went before the court in Brisbane. Four employees of a Queensland timber and flooring company called Moxon & Company have been sentenced to jail and heavily fined for using fraudulent documents to illegally export timber. The three directors and an employee pleaded guilty to using fake stamps on Commonwealth documents to send timber overseas. Now, this meant they were able to avoid biosecurity quarantine checks between 2006 and 2009. Now, they've been hit with $858,000 in combined fines and a combined total of 4.5 years jail, which is a very heavy sentence, although only one of them actually has to go to jail. Three of the four jail terms were suspended. Nonetheless, Wayne Terpster from the Department of Agriculture says that penalty sends a very strong message to anyone who's thinking about exporting timber illegally.
Certainly it's damaging for the confidence that buyers of Australian timber products in this case might have in the products that they're getting and in fact the certification that's been provided. People who might have considered or might be involved in similar behaviour need to be very, very concerned.
Now, we might be happy about being able to buy cheap strawberries, but it's not so good for the growers.
Yeah, there's a glut on at the moment. As you may have noticed in the supermarket, strawberries are selling for as little as a dollar a punnet. But if you grow them, it's been hard to make a profit. Some Queensland strawberry growers have had a very tough season. Some have been forced to leave the industry. Adrian Schultz is wrapping up his harvest on the Sunshine Coast. He says the weather's been so good that it's meant there have been too many strawberries.
We've seen a number of growers that have been growing for a long time chuck the towel in. They've had enough. We're getting the same money for a good quality product now that we were getting 10 years ago, but our cost and wages and everything has certainly gone up. So the margins are a lot tighter now than they were 10 years ago.
A bit happier news, I suppose, for carrot growers.
Yes, the Lamartina family grows about 65,000 tonnes of fresh carrots each year in Victoria. I've actually seen their farm and I was told that the paddocks I was looking at had 6 million carrots growing in them.
Bunny heaven.
Yeah, well, Lamartina's supply a very large chunk of the supermarket carrots sold in Australia. But not every carrot is suitable for sale in a supermarket. They have to all look the same and be the right colour and so on. So they've found a use for the spares. They're going to juice them as juice for the Japanese drinks market. Now, we know that everywhere in Japan you go, there are vending machines in hotels, in shops, in railway stations, and you can get just about everything out of a vending machine. And now you're going to be able to get Australian carrot juice made from concentrate. Company director Philip Lamartina says they've built a new juicing plant near Mildura that turns the seconds carrots, as they call them, into the concentrate for export.
It's basically 5 metric tonnes of carrot, raw carrot, gets evaporated down to 1 tonne of concentrate. They actually blend it back and add water, and it's a big business over there through the vending machines.
And there's a bit of an irony here that a lot of our fruit and vegetable producers object to concentrate coming in here from other countries, but we're sending our carrot concentrate to Japan.
Well, we could do the same with other fruits, perhaps. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony Allen with the week's Rural News. Don't forget, all the latest rural news can be found online at abc.net.au/rural.